Bibles there as well. We're going to kind of utilize the model prayer in Matthew chapter 6, 9 through 13 is a little outline for our lesson here this morning, along with some other things. And if you open up your Bibles there, you'll help us with our Bible study together to be able to kind of follow along. Matter of fact, I want you to appreciate the fact that all we're interested in here at this place is the truth. Jesus said, "You'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free," John 8 and verse 32. And so this morning, I'm going to appeal to the truth, the Word of God, and I'm going to provide you a book, chapter, and verse from it for everything I've got to say here today, so you might know from where it is that I'm gathering these from. So I'm going to utilize a PowerPoint here to my left. If you have a bulletin, you can take it out and see the outline of my lesson. Make some notes, study along, stay engaged with our study here this morning, and then I appeal to you to study these things later, to see that these things are so, to be able to make application in your life, that we may bring the honor and glory to God that we wish to do here in our services this morning. Given us the charge to have a theme of a church with a mind to work, and each month we have looked at different ideas and concepts from the Word of God that we're going to concentrate on, to work on. Last month we talked about Thanksgiving, and this month we're going to be talking about prayer. Prayer. Prayer needs to be an integral part of our life. Jesus, one time in Luke 18 and verse 1, it says there, Luke tells us that Jesus taught a parable along this wise, that men ought always to pray and not lose heart. Paul would say, pray without ceasing in 1 Thessalonians 5 in verse 17. Unfortunately, far too many people kind of have a misconception of prayer and how prayer ought to be utilized in the life. It kind of reminds me of the story of a young boy who was getting ready to take out a new girlfriend one evening. And he went over to the local drugstore and he bought three boxes of chocolate. He bought a small box of chocolate and a medium box of chocolate and a real big box of chocolate. And he took it up to the cash register and the pharmacist came over and checked him out. And then the pharmacist, kind of a little bit curious, says, "Why three boxes of chocolate?" He said, "Well, I'm taking out a new girlfriend tonight. We're going to go to the drive-in movie, and I got to tell you, if I have to take her there to that movie and sit and watch that whole boring thing, I'm going to just simply give her this small box of chocolate." And he said, "But, you know, if we're there and she will hold my hand during the movie, or maybe let me put my arm around her as we watch the movie, I'm going to give her this medium box of chocolate. But if I don't really have to watch this movie and drive it, and she'll let me kiss her during, I'm going to give her this large box of chocolate." So later that evening, he's at his girlfriend's home, and they're about ready to sit down and have a meal, and he volunteers to lead them in prayer, and he begins to pray over the evening, and he prays, and he earnestly prays, and he's praying this eloquent prayer, and he goes on and on, longest prayer he's ever prayed upon. About 10 minutes later, he was finished. And his girlfriend looked across the table and said, "Well, you never told me you were religious." To which he said, "You never told me your dad was a pharmacist." You get that later, Logan. And that's the way a lot of people look at prayer. Prayer's kind of like a fire escape. It's only utilized in emergencies. And what I want us to concentrate on this morning, and I hope that we can kind of think on and study and make application in our life here this month, is the integral part of prayer and the parts and pieces of prayer and how we should think of prayer and how we should utilize prayer. And what I've done is I've written a lesson in which PRAY, P-R-A-Y, is going to be an acronym for each one of the points of this morning. So I'm hoping that it'll stick with you in your mind, not just today, but through the rest of your life as you think about praying. The first thing that I want you to see that needs to be done in our prayer is that we need to understand that it is an avenue of praise. Prayer is a form of worship and praise to God. Some of us, no way, sir. We praise God in our singing, and we certainly do. In the midst of the church, I will sing thy praise, Hebrews 2 and verse 12. But what I want you to see also is that prayer is an avenue of praise to God. If you look at that model prayer that Jesus gives us in Matthew 6 and 9, say, "My Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." This bowing down, showing this adoration and praise to God is part of the model prayer that Jesus gives each and every one of us. Daniel, as he's praying to God in Daniel 2:23, says, "I thank thee and I praise thee, O thou God of my fathers." In our prayers, we need to be praising God. In Hebrews 13:15, "By him, therefore, let us offer up the sacrifice of praise to God continually." That is the fruit of our lips. When we praise or pray to God, we should utilize that as we do here today, as an avenue to worship and to speak praise unto God. The psalmist would say, "I will greatly praise the Lord with my mouth." Again, in Psalms 22:22, "I will proclaim your name to my brothers, and I will praise you." Give unto the Lord the glory and praise that is due his name. Sacrifice of praise. How? Through prayer. Each and every day you can begin your day with sacrifice. How? Through prayer. It is the sacrifice, it is the spiritual sacrifice that you and I can offer today. It is praise to God. Matter of fact, I begin many of my personal prayers, I offer up this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, because that's exactly what it is. It is how you now, as a priest of God, offer up your spiritual sacrifices, and you do it through prayer. How many times have we thought about prayer in that way? Prayer is your opportunity, and yea, I would say your obligation, to praise God and give God the praise and the glory. So as I begin here today, and I talk about the idea of pray, I want you to see the P and remind yourself that I praise God in my prayers, but also we request. It is our opportunity to make our request unto God. Give us this day our daily bread. In the model prayer, Jesus shows us that prayer is an avenue where it is that we make our request. Paul would say, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, through prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Prayer is our opportunity to make our request unto God. Again, give us our day, our daily bread, the things that we need in this life, the things that we desire in this life. Prayer is the perfect opportunity for us to approach God's throne and make our requests. We should request for the forgiveness of our sins. Forgive us our debts. That is a request that Jesus shows in the model prayer. "I acknowledge my sin to you," the psalmist said. "I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and he forgave me the iniquity of my sin." In my prayer, I make a request to have my sins forgiven. That's how a child of God today will receive the forgiveness of his sins. In Acts 8:22, Peter told Simon on that occasion, "Repent therefore of your wickedness and pray God that perhaps the thought of your heart might be forgiven thee." What was he to do? Repent of that sin and pray to God for forgiveness. That was the instruction the Apostle Peter gave Simon the sorcerer on that occasion. We are to make our requests for the things that we need. We make requests for the forgiveness of our sins, and it is our opportunity and yea, obligation to pray for others. "I exhort, therefore, first of all, that prayers, intercessions, giving thee thanks, be made for all men." Underline that phrase in your Bible. All men. It is your opportunity to pray for others. Paul would say, "Pray for your kings and those that are authority." Why? "That you might live a quiet and a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness. For this is good and acceptable in sight of God our Savior." God wishes for us to make requests for others. Paul would say, I always pray for you to the Colossians in Colossians 1:3. Later on in that same book, chapter 4, verse 3, he says, with all, pray for us. When we pray, not only are we making requests for ourselves, but we should be making requests for others. And also in Philippians 4 and verse 6, he talks about there for us not to be anxious. Why? Because we are making the request to the God who hears. The psalmist would say in Psalms 55 and verse 17, in the morning and in the evening and in the morning, I make them all day long. Why? Because God hears me. The righteous cry and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all of their troubles. Cast thy burden upon the Lord and he will sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Many of us don't have much problem with this, but just remember the R in pray is about the idea of requesting. That's what prayers are for. They are for praise, praise to God, and they are to make requests, requests of God. But also, don't miss this. It is now our opportunity to acknowledge, pray, he would say, without ceasing. Why? Because in our prayers, we acknowledge God for who he is and what he is and what he has done. In the book, again, Matthew chapter 6, verse 13, at the end of verse 13, he says, for thine is the kingdom and the glory and the power forever. I acknowledge who you are. You are the eternal sovereign of all the world, and I will acknowledge that. You are creator, the Lord God Almighty, the omniscient, the omnipotent, the omnipresent God, who is worthy to receive the honor and the glory and the claim. You are worthy to accept the thanksgiving from my hand, for you are my provider. You are the El Shaddai. You are El Shaddai in all the things in my life. And I'm asking you, because you control all the situations in my life, you know what I need even before I ask it. You are my all in all. And I am calling upon you to intercede. Why? Because I know you here, and I know who you are, and I know what you can do. I acknowledge God. I acknowledge to him my understanding, and yea, even my to my own self, that I am acknowledging that I am going to the one who hears and who loves and who will act on my behalf. I acknowledge from who it is that I get the things that I have in my life. Every good and perfect gift comes from you. And I acknowledge that. Giving God the glory is an important part of our lives. Prayer is our opportunity to give the glory unto God. I'd suggest to you, repeat what James said in James 1:17. I acknowledge that every good and perfect gift comes from you. And I give you all the honor, the glory, and the praise. As you pray, acknowledge God. I think of a guy one time that did not give God the glory. His name was Herod. We read about that in Acts chapter 12, verse 21. That Herod had set a day, arrayed himself in beautiful apparel, sat on his throne. He made a speech, and the people shouted with a voice, saying, it is a voice of a God, not a man. And immediately an angel of the Lord smote Herod because he gave God not the glory. We need in our prayers to acknowledge God. Give thanks to God always. The song, Paul would say to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17, in whatever circumstance I find myself, I give thanks to God. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Paul would say, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. How do I do that? I do that in my prayers. So what I ask you to do here this Monday, or excuse me, this afternoon, and through this month of December, is for us, and when we pray, to think about this acronym. I am going to praise my God. I'm going to make my request, but I'm going to acknowledge who He is, what He is, and what you have done in my life, and give Him the praise and give Him the thanksgiving. And finally, I want you to see this. And it is on our prayers we then yield. Acceptable form of prayer, effective, is one in which we are willing to yield to God. Matthew 6:10, the model prayer, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Does that sound familiar? It should sound familiar, because Jesus practiced what He preached when it came to prayer. In Matthew chapter 26, begin verse 36, I read the following. Then came Jesus unto them into a place called Gethsemane and said, Sit, while I go and pray a little further off. And He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be very sorrowful and very heavy. And He said, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And He went a little further and fell on His face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not in my will, but Thy will be done. And He comes to the disciples, He found them asleep, and He asked Peter, Could you not wait an hour? Watch and pray. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. And He went away again a second time and prayed, Father, if this cup may not pass from me except I drink it, Thy will be done. And He came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy, and He left them, and He went away again, and prayed the third time, saying the same words. The Hebrew writer would say, who in the days of his flesh, when he offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto Him who is able to save him from death, and was heard because he feared. Jesus begged and He pleaded to the Father and cried with a loud voice and with tears, but yet He yielded His will unto God. I love Mark's account of this in Mark 14, beginning verse 34. My soul, and it says, exceeding sorrowful unto death, tarry and listen. And He went a little further, and He's prayed this way. If it were possible that He might pass from Him. Abba, Father, all things are possible unto Thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but Thou will be done. When was the last time you made that statement in your prayer? We ought to praise God in our prayer, make requests to our God. We need to acknowledge our God, and we must yield to our God. Peter said, His eyes are over the righteous, His ears are open to the prayers. Paul would say, unto Him who is able to do exceedingly above and beyond the things that we ask or think. James would say, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And I quote those three scriptures to make this point. What a relief to know that all things are possible unto Thee. That's what Jesus prayed. All things are possible. He hears me. He can do it. He can even do more than what you ask. But I have the utmost faith to yield to Him in His answer, knowing this, that He is love. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. 1 John 4 and verse 8. I have the utmost faith, and yes, consolation.
I can have that peace that passes all understanding to guard my hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And keep in mind that passage is connected to the verse before it when he says, pray. And if you will understand the fact that he hears, that he is able to perform it, but he is love, and he is going to do what is absolute best for you in every circumstance, whether you can see it, whether you know it, or whether you will ever acknowledge it, you will have a life that is filled with more peace and more joy to the point that it passes the understanding of man, because you have the type of prayer life that Jesus modeled for you and me. That when it comes to my prayers, I am going to praise my God. I am going to make my requests, every one of them. Every request I have, I'm not holding anything back on any subject. I'm going to make my request, and I'm going to acknowledge that he has the power. I'm going to acknowledge that he can do it. I'm going to acknowledge all that he's done for me in the past. And then I'm going to yield. I yield to you. And if we'll learn that about prayer this morning, then our time has been spent very, very profitably. You listen well, and I appreciate that. We're about to stand to sing a song of invitation to encourage you. Maybe there's one in our audience who's not been obedient to the words of Jesus when he said, go into the world, preach this good news. He that believes it and is baptized shall be saved. This would be a wonderful opportunity to be obedient to that blessed command, confessing your faith that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I'll help you make that confession. And we'll baptize you in the water, great baptism to have your sins washed away. Acts 22 and verse 16. Maybe there's something else. Back on the straight narrow path, at least from this little